Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back into the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi, who's out of his office in Ocean City. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, live from Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Wherever you are watching or listening from, YouTube TV, DraftKings Network, Samsung TV Plus, we are everywhere, and it is awesome to see. Lots to cover this hour. If you missed any of our conversation earlier, recapping what was a crazy day in college football yesterday, especially Colorado's upset of TCU, make sure you download the Lombardi Line in podcast form. We'll talk plenty more college football today. Get reaction from our guy, Jonathan Von Tobel, new host of the College Lines Revealed show, debuting for this season, coming up later on today. So we'll have JVT on in about a half an hour, in about 15 minutes. We will have Glenn Gilbo, who joins us, national columnist for OutKick. He also covers the LSU Tigers very closely. We'll take a deep dive into the marquee matchup of college football week one, LSU and Florida State. But for now, we're going to get things started with a little no way or no doubt, Michael, because we only have this final Sunday until NFL games are back on our screen and some big player question marks that need answering. Let's run that open.
Do you disagree with these takes?
No way.
No way.
Or do you approve?
Oh, no doubts. No doubt. No doubt in my mind.
No diggity, no doubt.
It's time to ask Michael Lombardi, no way or no doubt.
All right, Michael. Bengals head coach Zach Taylor very firmly denied last week in his press conference that any of the extra time that Joe Burrow had sitting out when he injured his calf, the calf strain that he's been dealing with back on the practice field, none of that time away had to do with his contract extension. Both sides have kept things pretty quiet on the side of it. Looking for a new deal for Burrow. Total compensation right now, $4.54 million in 2023. So no way or no doubt, in your opinion, Joe Burrow should hold off to play until the Bengals give him the contract he deserves.
No way. I mean, that's not who Joe Burrow is, right? Joe Burrow's going to get paid. He knows it. And Mike Brown wants to pay him. I mean, Mike Brown's come out and said there's a lot of guys that deserve to get paid, which is not typically something you might hear from Mike Brown, who's fairly guarded with his comments and guarded with his money. So no way he should do this. I mean, the team always comes first for Burrow. That's the way he's been since he was a little kid, and I don't expect him to change. This contract will get done, and I assume he'll probably be one of the highest-paid quarterbacks. I do think it'll be interesting because I do think Burrow will fall in line with Mahomes and not try to take all the money and leave some around so that he has players around him that can help him.
Yeah, it's Michael, it's interesting. We always talk about the disease of me in certain organizations, and you don't have that with the Kansas City Chiefs with their marquee players until maybe Chris Jones. We'll see how that plays out. But he, another player very deserving of a contract, but you certainly don't have that with Joe Burrow. And I loved his perspective even coming into the season. Very unfortunate that he suffered the calf strain so early, just getting Bengals training camp started. But he said right before that, I want these reps. I want to be out here. And that's not something that's going to have an impact on me. How about with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and their wide receiver, Mike Evans? He is looking to get himself a deal as well. His agent, Derek Gilmore, recently released a statement saying that the Bucs have not offered him a contract of any kind despite negotiating for over a year and has set a deadline of later this week, September 9th, for a new deal. Begs the question, could a trade potentially be in play? No way or no doubt, it should be. The Bucs should consider trading Evans. What do you think?
Well, I do think the Bucs should consider trading Evans because this is going to be a rebuilding year. And Evans, if they sign him, who's a really good player, and he's underpaid based on the new quarterback market, his contract was done long ago. I do think they should consider that, particularly when you look at their team and their salary cap situation. They basically have three players they can go to create cap room, and they need cap room. Right now, we are currently on the 51 count in the NFL, which means only 51 players count towards your salary cap. On Saturday next week, the entire team, practice squad, injured reserve, count on your salary cap. And as of now, the Bucs are about $8 million under that number, $8 million over that number. So they got to pick up some cap room somewhere. And only Shaq Barrett, Mike Evans, and Devin White have high paragraph fives where they can do that. So they need to redo the deal. I'm surprised they didn't go to it sooner, because he does have the ability to continue to play and give them cap room. The question is, do they have a quarterback get them the football? That's the question. I'm not sure of that, because when you look at Mayfield over his career, his eye level has come down, and his throwing the ball up the field, which is what Evans does really well, is not something that Mayfield does effectively right now.
Are there concerns with Mike Evans about the age now that he is 30 and reaching that kind of latter part of his career? Obviously, the 1,000-yard seasons year in and year out are very impressive. But like you said, a team that's struggling to rebuild and a guy who might be on that downward slope here soon.
Yeah, I mean, look, receivers technically at 30, you worry about them. You worry about like Cooper Kupp has had a lot of injuries going on, right? You worry about all the things that happen. 30 is kind of like the benchmark. It's a wall that you have to kind of break your way through. And Evans is a down-the-field receiver. He's big. He's physical. He's still very effective. He should be paid higher than some of these other guys. However, his contract was done years ago, so it's kind of an outdated deal. But I do think that, you know, at 30, he's still an effective player. I mean, look, just ask the Carolina Panthers last year.
And still a lot more consistency than Cooper Kupp, who you just mentioned, which is where we'll turn our attention next. Another 30-year-old. He reportedly visited with a body specialist in Minnesota on Saturday to further understand the hamstring injury that he suffered a setback on this past week. Rams head coach Sean McVay called it a muscle strain and added Kupp is currently day-to-day. No way or no doubt, Michael, this injury is more serious than his head coach is letting on.
Oh, there's no doubt it is. If it was just a simple hamstring, he wouldn't be flying to Minnesota, you know, and they wouldn't be telling us this, right? Like, there's something here that they have to figure out, and I think it's concerning. Look, one thing we don't talk a lot about, there's a lot of players in the, I don't want to say a lot, there's some players in the league that will go to Canada, that will go to Germany on their day off. This is not a lot. To get treatment that is more advanced than what they're allowed by the FDA here in America. And so when you have a lingering injury that has bothered you, sometimes you do that, especially because you research other places that have been able to handle this. And I'm talking about countries, not cities. So when it's this level and you're getting on an airplane to go handle a hamstring and you're not sending MRIs, then you have to consider it serious.
And this is a guy, Michael, who we've talked a lot about, that season he had 2 years ago being an anomaly in general for him, 53 yards shy of a 2,000-yard season, the receiving triple crown. But that's not really the guy that he's been throughout the course of his career and is maybe perceived as something he might not be in full. While obviously, like, talent off the charts that year might be a little bit different, and now nagging injuries could pull that down as we see things right now. 812 yards a season ago in 9 games. And, of course, the injury. How about in the running back department? Both Josh Jacobs and Dalvin Cook got their first live practice work this week with their respective teams. Is it possible for them to ramp up, though, this quickly and be ready and productive in week one? No way or no doubt both Cook and Jacobs will have solid week ones despite missing their full training camps.
Yeah, I think they both will. I think they both will. I think running backs, it's not a big deal to miss camp. Because when you miss camp, you're guaranteed not to get hurt, not to have it. I think Cook's healthy now, and the offense won't be something difficult for him to learn. Stefanski's terminology is fairly similar to what Nathaniel Hackett's running at the Jets. And for Jacobs, I mean, you know, he's going to be programmed to just step right in and fill into their offense and be able to kind of take off where they were last year. So, yeah, I think both of them will have significant roles.
Yeah, and
I don't think it's going to be rusty. I really don't think it'll be rusty.
And to your point, Josh Jacobs, obviously familiar with the system, had a marquee year, led the entire league in rushing yards a season ago. Just feeling healthy and ready to get off the jump now that he's got that $12 million contract. The star of the show, one of the stars of the show in Colorado's upset win over TCU yesterday, was not only Shedeur Sanders, but our guy Travis Hunter, the two-way player, yeah. Iron Man football, who just racked it up as a wide receiver and corner yesterday. But what about his game at the next level, Michael? No way or no doubt, NFL teams might allow Travis Hunter to play both sides of the ball on Sundays. Could that happen?
Yeah, I think it could. I mean, remember Charles Woodson, when we drafted him in Oakland, you know, he played a little receiver too. Great punt returner, and probably could have done more at the receiving. Yeah, I think you're going to see that. But, you know, we're going to see players do more and more, because when you have a guy that is as skilled as Hunter is, you want to try to get him the ball. Plus, he creates matchup nightmares. And even if he doesn't play all the time, when he comes on the field, everybody's alerted to him, right? Everybody says, uh-oh, you know, there he is, Hunter, we got to handle him. And then, you know, you got to deal with the matchups. It becomes a luxury item that you don't have to pay for. It's a little bit like what the Patriots had last year with Marcus Jones. I mean, they bring him off the bench. He's a defensive back, but he's an electrifying player with the ball in his hands. You got to count for him. You got to at least have some way where your defense goes over it. Okay, if he's in the game, these are what they're going to do. And that takes 10, 15, 20 minutes away from what they need to be working on.
I'd love to see it. The skill set and endurance that Travis Hunter had on display yesterday, incredible. Played 129 snaps.
Endurance was unbelievable.
Yes.
Conditioning, Stormy, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's hot as hell. He's out there playing at the highest level, never got tired. You know, and my hat's off to him. And you know, you got to give Deion credit too, right? So this team was conditioned. That it's not something talked a lot about. Well, is the head coach have you in great shape? We see it in the NFL starting next Sunday. We're going to be talking about that next Sunday when, you know, we look at the weather, which is actually more of a problem in September than it is in December or January, because the humidity just zaps you to death. And it's hard to recover no matter how long you get an IV. I will say this. You know, the game where we beat Atlanta in the playoffs, in the Super Bowl, if it wasn't for a long halftime and players could get two IVs, we might not have won.
Humidity is a different animal. I'm just mentally preparing to be a sideline reporter in the swamp next week.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into the Lombardi Line. Remember, everybody, now's the time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. You'll get a daily email recapping all of the best bets from our show hosts and guests, as well as unlimited access to the VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. You can check out the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI. See which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You can sign up for only $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. Getting back to some of our college football action, we got three games coming up later on today. We will preview those as well as recap a little bit of what happened yesterday, because it was a crazy day, especially with what happened with Colorado's upset of TCU. To help us break it all down, we welcome in Jonathan Von Tobel, JVT. You know him and love him from his role on this show, but also the new College Lines Reveal show beginning first edition today, 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific, alongside Jared Smith. But Pam Maldonado, one of our newest members here at the network, is going to be joining you every week. JVT, welcome in. And as we look to that game yesterday with Colorado, how does that now impact your view of this team moving forward?
I think we were probably wrong to a certain extent about Colorado, and it's hard to really judge teams that bring in as many transfers and new faces as Colorado does. So I think you adjust on Colorado, and it's part of one of the topics we're to bring up today, which is how quickly, how much do you adjust from your previous thoughts on college teams, considering, you know, the wide variety of outcomes you can get because the transfer portal when you see these teams for the first time. So I think that there should be a change in the rating for Colorado. Having said that, Stormy, what's pretty fascinating is what you do with this team, like, into what degree. The look-ahead line for Nebraska at Colorado next week was Nebraska -8.5. But because Nebraska loses to Minnesota, because Colorado beats TCU as a 20.5-point favorite, we're now looking at Colorado -2.5. So we're talking about an 11-point adjustment from two results. That seems a little extreme to me. So I think that there is a universe, right? I know we don't do this in this world, but like where both things can be true, where Colorado should be upgraded. They outperformed expectations and they were low expectations. But at the same time, maybe we should pump the brakes the degree to which we are upgrading this team. I'm fascinated to see where this number closes.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right, JVT. I think, look, there's going to be a margin for error. With all these transfers, we're not sure, you know, what teams look like. There's going to be some concerns as you go through this, you know. But I think you have to kind of adjust. Like, do you adjust Ohio State for a lackluster performance against Indiana, or was just Indiana better than we think they are? I think that's where you kind of got to get into it. I'm just not sure. You know, we did that last week. Everybody was playing, you know, Vanderbilt goes, Hawaii plays them tough, and then when Hawaii got, you know, Hawaii plays the next week, they get blown out. So yep. I think you got to be careful here.
Yeah, and that's a great example of it, Michael, right? Hawaii and what the market did afterwards. So Hawaii goes to Vandy, probably should have won the game. And then they come back home. That look ahead number was, or the opening number in the offseason, was Stanford minus 10.5. It gets all the way down to Stanford minus 2.5. Nobody at all wanted any piece of Hawaii, or excuse me, Stanford. And sure enough, Stanford comes out, keeps him at arm's length the entire time, never in danger, and covers every single number, 2.5 through 10.5. So, you know, you don't want to overreact a ton. Do you want to adjust a little bit? Yes. Did I agree with moving from 10.5 to about like 7.5 or so? Sure, but not all the way down to 2.5 for that. So now we're getting another instance here where the market's all in on one side because of a result that we saw. We should also note, and this doesn't take away from what Shedeur Sanders did or what Travis Hunter did, the cornerback play for TCU was atrocious yesterday. You can look at many different metrics and measurements that would show you that the guys who were dropping back in pass coverage for TCU were among the worst graded amongst all of these teams that took the field. So that has to factor into it as well. Do you get the same poor play on the other side when you take on Nebraska? I think you could probably argue that it's not going to be much better, but it still will be better. But still, you have to take all of these things into account when you're upgrading some of these teams.
Okay, so we have Stanford, Hawaii. Yesterday, USC pummels Nevada 66-14. Washington crushes Boise State after a slow start 56-19. Now tonight, another Pac-12 opponent taking on a Mountain West team in Oregon State and San Jose State going head-to-head, a 16.5-point spread in that one. That number has come down a little bit with people buying in on the Spartans. I see it now 14.5 even at DraftKings. Where do you sit on this game, and will the Pac-12 continue to be the Mountain West daddy this weekend?
I don't think that would be the case, especially when we're looking at, look, the Pac-12, the teams, the Mountain West teams that were getting pummeled this weekend, outside of Boise State, which I have my reservations about, weren't really, you know, big contenders in the Mountain West, so to speak. But I will say this, I think the market's getting this right, Stormy, and driving this down to 14.5. Some spots are still at 15. But I think when you look at San Jose State, among the teams in the Mountain West that we've seen in action, San Jose State is considered to be a top four, top three team in that conference. They've got about 8 or 9 guys back. We saw how good Shaven Cordero can be. It's a very well-schemed offense, and that's essentially what you're asking this San Jose State team to do. Can you use this offense to stay within 14.5 points against an Oregon State team that we don't really know that much about yet? We know that last year they were the best ATS team in the country, but we also know that DJ Uiagalelei is taking his first snaps as an Oregon State Beaver, what that offense looked like, what that change looks like. I'm very interested to see, because I do think DJU has a very high ceiling in this Oregon State offense. I think it's much better than what Clemson is, and we'll see the changes offensively for Clemson coming up in a day. But I think overall, I would rather be on the side of San Jose State. This is a very effective offense, and it's a little bit better than some of the other Mountain West teams we saw in action. Outside of Fresno State, by the way, who went up to West Lafayette and got a big win against Purdue yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great win for – I mean, it came from behind, too. They were trailing. Yep. They come from behind. They won the game. And a lot of people were on Purdue yesterday, JVT, late. I mean, Purdue was getting a lot of money late in the day. Where are you today on LSU, Florida State? Both teams kind of have – it seems like they each side's well represented. Like, each side has a feeling that they could be sneaky good this year. What are your thoughts?
I took a small piece of plus 115 on the money line with Florida State, Michael. I think that when you look at everything – I think I have a little bit more faith here with Florida State and what they're going to be able to do. And especially when you look at, of course, the absence in the middle of the defensive line for LSU. You know, Jordan Travis, Stormy and I talked about this the other day. There was a drop-off in production in him in the last four games of the regular season before the post-game game, bowl game. But when you look at it overall, I think I have a little bit more faith in Travis than I do with Daniels. Part of the reason that I'm kind of in here, too, is, as we've discussed before, Dane Daniels has a tendency to hold on to the ball a little bit too long, invite pressure. His offensive line is actually pretty good, but he's the one that allows the pressure to come. And I think against a front like this that Florida State's going to bring to the table, they're going to be able to take advantage of that. I think I get the slightly better quarterback, a guy who knows how to handle pressure and doesn't invite it as much. I think Florida State's live. I think the market's getting this right and driving this down. So I missed out on the three. I know there was a few threes out there that some people got. So instead, I just took a money line price on Florida State here.
JVT, you mentioned it off the top when we welcomed you today. The premier edition of the 2023 College Lines Revealed show, 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific. And while we mentioned the look ahead line for a team like Colorado as they get set to play Nebraska this week, another one that I think could be interesting is Baylor, of course, falls to Texas State yesterday. What's that going to be? What's maybe your prediction for some of these things that you think are going to be important, notable games to keep an eye out for? And what can bettors gain from watching the program later today and seeing these lines as they come out?
So as far as that one's concerned, I would assume that Utah is going to be a small favorite in that game against Baylor. Baylor defensively. How about this? You know, if you're Dave Aranda, remember, guys, in December, he fired Ron Roberts because he didn't like the way the defense was going. And then you look yesterday, 441 total yards allowed, 6.4 yards per play, five touchdown drives of at least 75 yards for Texas State. They have some real questions defensively, Baylor does, and a lot of things to ask because they've already shifted their staff. Now they have to find out what they're doing wrong still. So I think as far as that one's concerned, especially Utah, we still don't know what's going to happen at quarterback, but they at least showed that they're respectable defensively and good enough on offense they could take advantage of it. Would think that this is going to be a small favorite. But as far as the show is concerned, look, I think there's a lot of advantages you can take from learning where the market is going. What we're literally watching when you watch the screen during this show, we're watching the market shapers shape the market. You're seeing where they're going in terms of the sides. You're finding out what these true openers are. You're finding out what teams they are respectful. You know, last year, for example, and this is actually a negative for the market shapers, last year, every week on the show, guys, we watched that number move in favor of the Texas Longhorns almost every single week. But Texas was failing to cover a lot of those numbers. So you can tell where some of these sharp bettors are at least trying to shape the market, what they think about the odds makers' perspectives of certain teams, and you can use that as part of your handicapping. And it's also just kind of fun. You should see some of the way these totals move. The totals are wild in terms of 4, 5, 6 point swings in one direction or another. So I think you can learn a lot from a show like this. You know, it's going to be part of the podcast feed. If you don't want to check it out, today's a good day because there's no, at least Sunday NFL action. But it's a pretty good exercise for a lot of people. And be part of the college football betting podcast feed. There we go. That's what we call it.
And you get ahead of the curve if you listen to the show, because the numbers, as we see here, the numbers change dramatically. I mean, you know, and sometimes those changes, as we learned yesterday, end up being meaningless. The steam going to one team or the other. Was there one team this weekend so far that you thought, yeah, they're really good? I mean, I thought Penn State with Drew Aller is legit.
Yeah, Michael,
think
Drake yeah, you
May
did.
Is unbelievable. You know, so is there a team that you watched this weekend and said, oh, wow, I think they're really good. They're better than I thought.
I think it was probably Penn State at the top of there. And that was one that I was kind of tepid on. You know, I wanted to see what that was going to be like, especially because they have that label, Michael, of dark horse in the Big Ten. Couple that with the struggles of Ohio State against Indiana. And I think I really came along on Penn State and the chances they can make some noise in that conference.
Now let's see if my CFP predictions can go 2 for 2 in week one. I know you like the number on Florida State, but I laid it with LSU. I need them to win this one and keep it moving. Awesome stuff as always, JVT. You're the man, and
thanks,
enjoy
JVT.
The premiere episode of College Lines Revealed later today.
Good to talk to you guys. Thanks.
Follow him at me, JVT, on X as well. And again, you can find the College Lines Revealed show in the College Football Betting Podcast channel on VSiN.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The updated NFL betting guide is out now. Remember, throughout this whole preseason, our VSiN experts have been reevaluating every single team to help give you the best betting edge. This guide has picks from every on-air host. Our own Michael Lombardi has team-specific preseason analysis for all 32 squads, how to use our VSiN betting splits and football contest strategies. If you want the best and most comprehensive collection of picks, predictions, and previews, now is the time to join us. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber for as low as $19. You can also save 50% off the monthly price if you do that annual subscription. Bet smarter all year long. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. We are still a few days away, though, from the NFL season beginning. Meanwhile, the game of the week, certainly, and potentially a game of the year, even as weird as it is to say, in week one of college football, coming up later tonight, Michael. Florida State and LSU going head to head, a rematch of last year's LSU heartbreaker as the rally came up short on a blocked extra point that ended that game. To help us break down what might happen tonight, we bring in Glenn Gilbo, national columnist for Outkick, LSU reporter at LSU Beat Tweet on X. Glenn, welcome in. Season getting started off with a bang, certainly, for the LSU Tigers tonight. What are some of the marquee things that you're looking for?
Well, thanks for having me on. It's the first top 10 matchup of the season. It's two teams that look like they're both going to contend to try to make the playoffs. You got two really good quarterbacks in Florida State's Jordan Travis and LSU's Jaden Daniels. You got two great defenders and linebacker from LSU, Harold Perkins, and Jared Verse, the defensive end from Florida State. There's a lot of high-round NFL talent on the field. Both programs are kind of moving up, you know, particularly starting last year. So I think it might not be Colorado and TCU, but it should be close to that.
Yeah, Glenn, you know, we know with Perkins, their defense is just sensational. With Smith inside as the tackle position, they can really create havoc. But they also have four new transfers that have come in on the defense. What's your level of concern in terms of those transfers being able to make a huge impact early in the season?
Well, Madden will not be playing. He's suspended, and that's a big loss. But they're pretty deep on the defensive line. And the portal transfers in the secondary remain question marks. That's actually probably the weak spot, or at least the question about LSU is their secondary. I think just because you got guys from the portal doesn't mean they're any good. Chances are they weren't starting where they were. So, and LSU and Louisiana produces a lot of secondary players. DBs, cornerbacks. So I'm surprised they don't have, you know, homegrown players already there. Explains to you a little what Brian Kelly inherited, but they do have some talent back there. It's going to be interesting to watch how they develop. But LSU's strength is defensive line, linebacker, offensive line is improved, and wide receivers and quarterback.
Glenn, initially LSU was a field goal favorite in this game. Now we're seeing it as more as a coin flick. Just a 1.5-point favorite there at Camping World Stadium. Do you agree that this is kind of a coin flip type of a situation, or what have you learned about LSU that could tell you this game might go one way or another tonight?
Oh, I've always thought it was a coin flip game because I think Florida State is the best team on LSU's schedule. I think Florida State is better than Alabama just because of Alabama's quarterback questions. Jalen Milroe looked good last night, but that was Middle Tennessee. I think Jordan Travis is a step ahead of him. And last year, you know, Florida State ended up being one of the best teams on LSU's schedule, and they're returning a lot. So I always saw this as a toss-up. And I think Travis has the edge over Jaden Daniels as well. I see LSU winning this game because in the second year of a coach – particularly a good one like Kelly, you see improvement. And they were a little sloppy through the first half last year, particularly against Florida State. So I don't think you're going to see that tonight. So I think LSU will win within, you know, a few points.
Yeah, I mean, this one's a big one because, you know, let's face it, if you have two losses, it's hard to get to that final, right? And,
yeah.
You know, with Florida, with A&M, they play A&M at home this year. They got to go to Alabama. They've got to go to Mississippi. There's really not a lot of margin for error. I mean, next week they've got Grambling, and then they go to Mississippi State. So, that's not going to be challenging. Arkansas, who knows? But the Ole Miss game will be. But this is one of those where it could really have an effect on both teams' chances of getting to the Final Four.
Yeah, the winner of this game will, you know, get into the top five or stay in the top five and move up a little bit, and but the loser will still be in it, you know, until they lose again. And you know, I think even if LSU loses, I think they have an excellent chance of winning out, and I think Florida State might have a pretty good chance of winning out too if they lose, because they don't play Alabama, that Clemson would be tough. Florida's not any good, so. I still see either of these teams, win or lose, being in the playoff hunt, at least till late in the season.
Here with Outkick national columnist, LSU football writer Glenn Gilbo, joining us on the Lombardi Line, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. LSU is a team that Michael and I did last week, the exercise of who's going to be in our college football playoff, who's going to win the national championship. And I had them winning it all this year. They're a team that I'm very high on, and I think that Jaden Daniels has the potential this season to grow and develop his skill set. We know how dynamic he can be as a runner with his legs, but to grow a little bit in the pass game, I think could be a real difference maker for this team. When it comes to national championship perspective in the SEC, Georgia's obviously won it back-to-back years. They're the team to beat. Do you think that as the season progresses, LSU could really go head-to-head with a Georgia team that has all the expectations again this year?
Yeah, I definitely think so. You make a good point about Jaden Daniels, because last year he was running for his life the first half of the season because the offensive line was not that good yet. It's really good now. They're more experienced. They got some young talent there, so he's going to be able to have more time in the pocket. Plus, Kelly wants him to quit playing it so safe. You know, he threw a lot of check down passes and safe passes last year. He only had 3 interceptions. Kelly has been saying since last year he wants to throw to guys who aren't open. You know, throw to the outside shoulder, throw them open, and take more chances. You usually don't hear that from a coach. You usually hear the opposite. So there's a lot of room for Jaden to take a jump, even though he had a really good year last year. Plus, I think his number one receiver this year, Malik Nabers, is better than Kayshon Boutte was last year, and he's got some other receivers. So I think LSU is really the number two team to Georgia going into the season, and I just don't, you know, Georgia's got a new quarterback too, and there's a reason you hadn't had a lot of teams win 3 titles. Something happens, you know, you get a little unlucky, or something will happen to Georgia. And they're not going to win the national championship this year is how I see it. And, you know, I see LSU having an excellent chance of making that Final Four.
Hey, Glenn, quickly, Jaden Daniels, what level of improvement have you seen from last year through the spring and through the summer practices in terms of his ability to really just kind of cut it loose and throw the football and not stare down the receiver?
Yeah, and you know, his first instinct last year was to run, but you could understand that because he was about to get sacked most of the time. You know, he's not the most accurate passer, intermediate and beyond. So that's where he's got to improve. He needs to be a little more accurate on the deep ball and try to throw the deep ball more. And you know, that'll be up to the coaches. But I would say he's got to improve his accuracy after the short passes.
Great stuff, Glenn. Really, really appreciate the time. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks, Glenn.
Okay, thank you.
Glenn Gilbo, again, doing great work for Outkick as well as covering the LSU Tigers on a day-to-day basis. And Michael, like I said, I'm really, really high on this LSU team. And
yeah.
I remember myself this time last year.
Glenn is too. I mean, Glenn is too. Wow.
That makes me feel good.
Glenn has them going through the Southeast Conference like it's no big deal. But, I mean, you know, Alabama. I mean, we haven't talked about it. Milroe looked really good last night. I mean, I know it's Middle Tennessee, but it's, you know, look, Ohio State didn't, McCord didn't look great against Indiana. So everything gets into perspective. I mean, I think you have to be careful with that. But I thought Milroe was good yesterday.
No, I agree. And the thing that makes me a little bit worried is because I have all of this confidence in LSU, this time last year, I had all of that confidence in Utah as well going into week one. And we all remember how that played out with Florida. And throughout the season, yes, they largely lived up to a lot of the things I thought about them. But it was not the end result that I had hoped for. And I lucked out with a Pac-12 title with Utah. A little bit harder to luck out with a national championship and college football playoff bid. We will, when we return here on the Lombardi Line, wrap up our final thoughts on the 3 college football games coming up today. You won't want to miss it. This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Our very own Michael Lombardi has just written his second book, Football Done Right, Setting the Record Straight on the Coaches, Players, and History of the NFL. Now for a limited time, you can get a free copy of the book when you become a VSiN Pro annual subscriber. Just sign up on a new VSiN Pro annual subscription today and use the code Lombardi. Get an entire year of VSiN Pro access to our daily best bets, season prep betting guides, 24/7 video, and pro tools like our exclusive betting splits. And all you got to do is use that code Lombardi to get a free copy of the book when you sign up. This is a limited time offer, so make sure you sign up now at vsin.com/subscribe. So excited for Football Done Right to come out this week. Also, a great reminder to everybody out there, earlier in the show, we did discuss the blue chip, red chip head coaches in the NFL on the GM Shuffle. Tomorrow, Michael, you and Femi are going to complete the red chip, blue chip series with quarterbacks as we get set for week one.
Yeah, get ready for that one. I mean, I'm sure Femi's going to have Justin Fields somewhere in the top three. Maybe he needs more tape to watch. I don't know.
Got to see more of him, Michael. Got to see more of him.
Yeah. Got to see more of them. Yes, that's right. Got to see more of them. I asked him the other day if he needed to see more of Barry Sanders or Lawrence Taylor. He didn't get back to me on that.
Ah, I love it. We also need to see more of some of these college football teams, Michael, that have been in action before we can make truly educated decisions and power ratings on a number of them, which kind of leads us to our pro tip of the hour. And for anyone who's new to VSiN or watching our program on DraftKings Network, we do one of these every single day, pro tip betting advice, just a little thing to try to help you become a more informed sports bettor. And this pertains to college football and understanding the level of competition, Michael, that some of these teams are playing week one.
Yeah, I mean, I think really college football, from an evaluation standpoint, is about level of comp. And from a betting standpoint, it's really about level of comp. And I think we make this mistake of not understanding the level of comp. And we over-adjust a power ranking. Okay, let's take, for example, Michigan only won by 27 points. Did we lower their rating? Indiana played, I thought, Ohio State close. Do we raise their rating? I think you just, it's week to week, you separate it, you make slight adjustments, but you don't make large assumptions. Like large assumption, like JVT was talking about, the 10-point swing from Nebraska to Colorado. I mean, Deion's got a tough job this week, is to clamp down the noise, right? Everybody's going to talk about Colorado. The odds for them to get to the Final Four are gone way up. Meanwhile, Matt Rhule's sitting in Lincoln, and all they're hearing about is it's the same old Nebraska. It's the same old Nebraska. Well, they're two different stories. And the players here, you know, the players react to those stories. And I think we as bettors can't let that affect us. And we can't just assume the last week becomes this week. Understand the level of comp, understand who they play, and understand that perhaps maybe they just want to get through the game clean and didn't try to run up the score on other teams.
Absolutely. And for anyone who missed what that point swing was in the odds, by the way, Nebraska on the look ahead line was an 8.5-point favorite against Colorado before yesterday's upset win over TCU for the Buffs. Now Colorado is a 2.5-point favorite on DraftKings. And again, we talked about it with JVT. He will be on the College Lines Revealed show in about an hour and 15 minutes. That'll get underway here on VSiN, breaking down all of those lines that are coming out for week two. And there could be some significant adjustments quick on a number of those things. So great to keep an eye on. That will begin at 10 o'clock Pacific time in just a little bit here on VSiN. But that is our pro tip of the day. You can find all of the pro tips for every show here at the network at vsin.com, and you can search them by sport and by show. And one more question, just kind of big picture with college football, specifically from week zero to week one, Michael, and one of the games that we have coming up tonight with Oregon State and San Jose State is those teams that got to play a week ago. Yes, they were able to get the rust off, you know, get some reps under their belt for those new guys. But now they also have tape available for the team that's playing them today. Mm-hmm. Do you value one thing more than the other in your handicap as we look at this game? Oregon State, 14.5-point favorite today.
Yeah, I mean, look, you also have a better level of understanding the personnel. Because remember, when you're doing this in handicap and you're looking at players and plays, and so when you don't have any tape from the current year, you're out on plays and you're definitely out on the evaluation of the players. I mean, Nebraska will have a much easier time defending Colorado now because they know what Colorado is. You got to take Hunter. The quarterback's really good. You got to pressure. All those things are on tape now. It's the same thing with San Jose. As Oregon State gets their defense ready to play, you know, they've got a lot of returning players. They know San Jose. They've seen it on tape. and they can take advantage of it. They know what coverages they're going to be in, and I think a coach like Jonathan Smith, he certainly has a huge advantage in this because he understands how to game plan and run and execute the offense effectively.
This is one of those games that's a good coaching matchup. Despite the general disparity that we have and the expectations for Oregon State after the 10-win season a year ago, they were the best cover team in the country. San Jose State has a pretty good offense themselves, but Brent Brennan and Jonathan Smith, like, this is a kind of an under-the-radar, I think, good coaching matchup that we're going to have tonight in a standalone 3:30 CBS game.
Yeah, it is. You know, and look, both programs, it's that they don't get five stars, six stars. You know, they don't get all the – they get players and they have to develop them, and they do a really good job with it, right? And so I think especially Jonathan Smith, who when you look at their team and you see where they are and how they handle it, you know, it's not easy for them. I mean, they do a good job of developing the quarterback. They've increased the level of play up there. And I think they don't get enough credit for how hard of it is to win at Oregon State or Washington State. Even look, those two teams don't have a conference right now.
Yeah.
So I think we see that. It's challenging.
Yeah, I feel for them as one of the odd man out programs in this crazy conference realignment we've seen right now. I don't have a bet in this game today. More of an evaluation one for me, especially seeing how DJ Uiagalelei is going to show up in his debut with the Oregon State Beavers. Just kind of what that offense is going to look like. Also today, the first college football game of the day, 9 Pacific, noon Eastern in the Big Ten. Northwestern at Rutgers. This one opened with Rutgers a 4-point favorite. We now see that sitting 6. The total 39.5. And this is a game, Michael, that in terms of totals is very, very low for what we've seen today.
Yeah.
We only had one game other than, is this the only game that has a total under 40 in week one? I'm pretty sure. Like, all right, let's see what kind of slugfest we get out there.
Well, I mean, look, Rutgers scored average 17 points last year, you know, and they gave up 29. And so, but they played, you know, after they beat Indiana 24-17, they didn't win another game. They struggled, you know, and they got routed by Penn State and they got routed by Michigan. So it was challenging and they had no offense at all. So I think that's why. And then what can we expect from Northwestern? I mean, that's the question. How good is Northwestern and how do they react to what's all happened to them, you know, as they go through their season and try to deal with the problems as they move forward with, you know, the change of coaches and all the controversy that's been around them. I mean, last year, you know, Northwestern offensively averaged 13 points. So between the two teams, that you know, the over should be set at 31. Do they hit it? I mean, that's the question.
Yeah, I am leaning toward laying the points with Rutgers in the spot. Going to have to make the decision here relatively soon because, again, that kickoff coming in just a few minutes.
Yeah, you got to get your Orange Theory workout. Maybe when you're working out, it'll come to you, Stormy.
We'll see.
Like, oh, I have an epiphany.
Betting
here.
And driving is frowned upon, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do every now and then. Hit a stoplight, see what you can make happen.
Sometimes it just, you know, those things change. You know, you just kind of get an idea and we go from there.
Yeah, we'll see. Last minute and a half here, Michael, your final thoughts on LSU Florida State. I've made it apparent throughout the last week how high I am on LSU. I laid the 2, wish I got the 1.5. Might bet it again though, because I really, really do like this play despite the number moving in Florida State's favor. What do you think?
You know, I'm going to go LSU. I think LSU would, I really think Brian Kelly's a good coach. And I think Brian Kelly, not that Mike Norvell's not. Again, this is a close game. It's a coin flip game. I worry about Daniels being consistent in the game. I worry about his play at quarterback. But I think that LSU, it'll come down to the field goal. I think it will. And I think that's where the line opened and it has moved. I'm going to play LSU. If I had to make a play here, it would be that. I just think LSU, especially with Brian on defense, I know they don't have Davis. I think my hesitancy of going all in is that secondary, what Glenn talked about earlier, block. That's what makes me worry, especially when they're going against a good quarterback.
A potential game of the year that we get to see week one on a Sunday.
We just want a good game. How about just a good game of the year? I'd take that tonight, wouldn't you?
And
I don't need a game of the year. I just need a good game.
I think we're going to get it.
Jordan Travis against Daniels. I mean, I just need that.
I think we're going to get it. And I think this is an LSU team that, based on the way that last year's game played out as well, losing, I mean, rallying all the way back. It was a sloppy game, but you make this push and then to lose on a blocked extra point crushing, I think there's going to be that little added element of motivation for LSU to get the revenge and redemption tonight. So we'll see how it plays out. Awesome show today. Thanks, everybody, for joining us this Sunday edition of the Lombardi Line on VSiN. Coming up on the DraftKings Network is Ross Tucker. And if you're joining us on VSiN, YouTube TV channels, or iHeart, the sports betting analysis will roll on with Live Bet Saturday next.